Well, this morning we've been talking for years about during the season of rest, especially we've been really, the elders, deacons, and apostolic team have been really discussing like what are our priorities, what's God saying during this time, because rest is a time that, you know, you're really trying to seek God and understand what His next steps are, things like that, and we have a lot of things stirring in the pot, right? We definitely have made a commitment to finish. We're working right now on the HVAC over on the other side, so we have new heating and air conditioning systems over there. We're trying to finish this building, you know? So the front face, our goal is to have it done before winter here with nice stone and siding and things like that, just so that the face of who we are is represented well. And, but we've also had this sense, just like we've been studying about the Israelites, right? They had a promise of rest that could only be attained by faith, okay? Because it doesn't mean absence of activity. It means trusting in God and not yourself and your own strength. So, I shared last week, we have initially entered a promised land here, a land which had many giants. It's strikingly similar situation to that of the Israelites. It defied human sense to even try to acquire such a place as we've been given. There were giants, many individuals who were strong, endowed with abundant resources, wealthy, and powerful. And they weren't necessarily our friends. We lacked the necessary financial resources to receive funding for such an acquisition. It was just humanly impossible. Now, I share that and the past few weeks not to tell you how great we are and what a wonderful thing God has done for us. And if you understood it that way, please hear me clarify. You know, that was not the purpose. The purpose is God. Yeah. The purpose is who He is, His love, His goodness, His nature, His plan of salvation, His desire to include us in what He wants to do. That is the focus of everything I preach on and share. God is amazing. He is great. He is omnipotent, all-powerful, glorious. This is why we talk about what He's done so great in our midst, because He's glorified. This has not been up to us. The only thing we could take credit for is we chose to obey and try to say, Lord, we yield to You. Amen. That's it. That is what this is about. God, His plan, His salvation, you know, and we get to be a part. And so one of the things, you know, and when we choose rest and turning from dead religion, we hold fast to the first principles of faith, to the authenticity of this community, to trust in the Savior and our family here. We resist the temptation to failing examples around us of people and other institutions and look to God, trusting Him that there is going to be an opportunity for Him to move amongst imperfect men and fulfill His promises. That is what we are committing our hearts, lives, and minds to. So one of the things that it's just stirred in our hearts and we can't seem to shake is a step of faith to enter into the vision of really staying committed and focused on developing this land as a place for the family of God to be raised up. You know, and God had Israel as an example. I want to make you a light to the nations, right? Now, it wasn't about Israel being exalted. It was about God and His plan that He chose Israel to exalt them, that they would shine salvation to the entire world, that God's heart would be full and satisfied with, I have won the humans back to myself. And so in the same way, we look to God, and we are really burdened with this sense that we don't have a place for our children and youth. We don't have a place for this whole next generation. And, you know, we have amazing people helping out, Lynn and her great team. And we have, you know, Steph and her great team. But like they, you know, Lynn's limited. She like stacks chairs in the corner as props and like has to take it all down. And Steph and I just keep saying, you know, this is so almost tragic. You know, we started with this regional youth ministry called Youth Storm, and it was affecting all of New England. 10 churches every week of just pouring in, strengthening their youth groups, gathering hundreds and hundreds of youth. Sometimes I think we were 600 at one of our larger gatherings at Faith Christian Center way back. And so we feel like it's time to take a step of faith. And in that, it's this concept of developing the steel building. All we need for occupancy there. And then is septic, bathrooms, and fire system. That's it. That's all we need. And if we do it in a way, we can really maximize our options. For it to be an activity center for children, youth, and family. One, an indoor activity center with a gym for the and play spaces for the daycare. That would expand things greatly. It's raining. They go play. I mean, what other daycare in Wyndham has, like, huge indoor play space? Not many. I don't know of any. check. A resource for our ministry, SOA. You know, Josiah labors with his team for School of Warrior Arts. And many of you are involved in that, you know, for health, for fitness, to feel better, to train our kids in discipline. This can be a home for that. We'll have a youth room, one where we can set up ping pong table and pool table and all these things and just have, are there youth in here? Come on, Kendra. She's young at heart for sure, and that's why she's part of the youth group. But, you know, have a place. I mean, for someone who has 100 acres of land and 7 buildings and we don't have a youth room, it's ridiculous. It's just crazy. So, and there's not a whole bunch to do here in Wyndham. I'm telling you, I have kids, and they don't have much to do. It's like they have money, and they have all kinds of nice houses and cars, but we don't have very many really great youth centers that are, like, awesome, fun to be at, where you can meet people. And we have a huge shortage on fields in the town. I've worked with people for a few years now trying to develop a field back there so the town had more places for, like, football league to meet, baseball. They play on septic systems. Leach fields, because there's no other place. There's a huge shortage of fields. And so we could actually be another resource for the community, Darien Wyndham, to just be able to use our field, you know, that kind of thing. Children's church. We can actually have it set up, and the kids could have a place, not like this kind of corner in a room that's this multi-purpose room. They could have a place. And then finally, it would give us about a 400-seat auditorium or multi-purpose room that we can have like a unity service once a month or something, you know? And 3-4 services, maybe we have just 2 unity services if we, you know, keep growing. But anyway, the point is that it'll be a chance for us to consolidate more like we have this summer. And as you see, you look around, we can't, you know, it's summertime. Do you know, like, Laura and Bob are, like, on their way down to the Cape, and they said, we are praying that God really releases vision for what he wants to do in our midst. So they're, like, on vacation, but they are praying. They're like, they texted me this morning, said, I want you to know we are taking this seriously and we are believing God's going to move. So gives us a chance to have a building just like all of our other buildings that aren't used for just one thing on a Sunday. They're used, they're maxed out. And that's our goal, is the entire leadership team doesn't want to go further into debt. They want to use and develop what we have before we build. And I think that's wisdom. And I think God will release the wealth that we can build without going further into debt. My goal is that we get completely out of the debt, even with mortgages, and that we could just give ourselves to missions, reaching the entire world with the gospel. Amen. And so I want some of these guys to share, some of the elders and deacons, what's on their heart in when we're doing, you know, with this whole thing. We're believing to raise 60 grand. And that should cover, it's a conservative number, but if we could, we do well at that. We do well at pushing the penny a long way. But to get that septic, bathrooms, and fire. So why don't we just share what's on your heart?
Good morning. I'm just going to show just a couple of quick polls here. I can tell pretty much from looking around. How many people have been coming here for more than 6 months? Most of them. Okay. How many of you all have children or grandchildren that have been coming with you or you want to bring here? Okay. You know, along with what Sean says, you know, God's given us this promised land. And I want to show you, you can actually see. How many have never been up behind the daycare center? You've all been up there? Oh, okay, a good amount. Most of you have. So you can see the big steel building with the three garage doors right there, okay? That's almost 3,000 square feet of space. I measured it. Is it 7,200? Okay, 7,200. Even more, okay? Double that. So we just double that. Look at what God did, okay? So what we can do, I mean, the potential is beyond. I mean, with God, the sky's not the limit with God. It's beyond that. So we can do amazing things up there. Look at the size. I mean, that's just part of it, okay? What we've seen, actually, Laura and I and our family have actually been connected with a community center for youth out in Brentwood that's working, actually, our old church, which had a huge auditorium, not even half this size. And it's actually functioning now. And it's a place, a community for youth that can come and give them a place to be loved and encouraged. It's not, quote, Christian yet. It's working its way. It is in the church, but it is actually community-based. But it's a place for kids to come, youth to come, and have fun. In addition to what Sean said, this is really cool. In addition to basketball and all that, we've done glow-in-the-dark dodgeball. You ever seen that? Amazing. Black lights all over the place. The place is dark. Everything's illuminated, and it's amazing. And there's other things that we've been able to do. So we can do that. I mean, with the technology we got in this place, with Dave and the rest of the gang and our kids, amazing. So what we want to do is really birth in you all what can happen there. And we're moving forward. Not only is it a financial thing that we're talking, I want to connect this also, like Wes shared a little while ago. We got our work week coming up a week after next. We're going to try to make some effort in cleaning that building out and getting it ready. And many hands make work light. So there's not only financially, you can give of your time even a little bit. You know, when you just give a little bit, you have a few hours or something like that, try to look at your schedule a week from next, that week of the 23rd, okay, that we can get over there. I'm going to be there, okay, as one of the overseers, and I'm going to grab a bunch of other people there. But we're going to be making a big effort to make that happen. And we just need, you know, everybody to come alongside. There's lots of praying going on. That 60 grand, like Sean says, God can do amazing things with that 60 grand. We've already seen, I mean, the favor, we've got some good numbers. Just that HVAC system was a whole lot less than what we originally were quoted. You know, what we did in this building, okay, this is great for the adults. Isn't this amazing? I mean, most of you have seen what it looked like before, and you see what it is today. We were looking at some old slides up there a few minutes ago, and it's like the old dingy bingo hall over here, and this is beautiful. Well, why not have something like this for the kids? Okay? That's going to bring them in. I mean, when they see a place that is beyond what we've ever thought, that is better than anything in the rest of the community of Derry, Wyndham, Chester, Londonderry, they're going to be coming here saying, we want to be part of this. Yeah. So I encourage you all, I'm going to turn this over to Dave, but encourage you all, kind of get behind us, get behind the vision, not us. Okay, this isn't Sean's vision per se, this is a crossing. You know, Laura and I came on board at this church 5 years ago. This has been like our desire. It's like to find a home like this, you know. And it's funny because we were actually part of Faith Christian Center years ago. When they, right about when they started coming there, we were kind of in transition to Oklahoma. But the network there is just, I mean, what we can do here. So I encourage you, just, you know, keep your eyes open, keep your hearts open, keep praying for this because it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen, and we just want to make it all together. The promised land is for all of us, not just a handful of us. And you can all be part of that and just make it happen.
Thanks, Brian. You know, take a step back and look at what God's doing with the crossing over the past few years. He's making us a landmark in Windham, right? We started out as a church that a lot of people thought was a cult, right? Honestly, we had a lot of opposition here originally, but God's been changing perspectives on our church. He's been changing perspectives on the community. We're now opening up the garden, you know, Pumpkin Fest, Christmas at the Crossing, all kinds of things to help the community, and their eyes are opening. So what better way to really reach out to the community is to build this youth center that we can have, that the town can use, you know, to grow our numbers. People who say, wow, this church has got all kinds of great stuff. Kids want to come, right? That's been our heart since day one, is to catch the youth, to really give them a vision for loving Jesus. So, you know, I don't want to look at this as an offering. It's an investment. We're investing in the vision that God's given us. So what we want to do is we want to take another offering this morning, but we also want to give everyone time to really pray and seek God about whether he would have you to make a donation. Even a large donation would be awesome, but pray about it. Don't do anything outside of the will of God. So we're going to take an offering now, but also for the next couple of Sundays, we're going to take offerings. So don't feel, you know, pressed to like, oh, I need an answer from God this minute. We're going to give you all the time that you need to really seek God and see how he would have you to invest your finances and your time in this vision, in this project that he's doing. So I'm going to have the ushers come up and do an offering, and I'm going to pray, because our God is amazing. Jesus, we thank you that you have unlimited resources, and we see time after time in the Word where you provided for your people water from a rock, bread from heaven, gold from the Egyptian, their captives. I mean, it's just amazing the things that you've done, God. You can make this money come from wherever. But God, we want to be part. We want to invest in the vision that you've given us, Jesus. So I ask that you would move on people's hearts, Jesus, and speak clearly about what you want us to do, and bless this offering, God, and multiply it just as you multiplied loaves and fishes. God, that you would multiply it for your glory and for your name. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
I look back and just marvel at how God provided before. I mean, I remember an older couple came and said, we have a rainy day fund, you know, and so I'm thinking, oh, that's nice, that'll help some. Well, it ended up being, they started like 30 years ago, and it was 40 grand. And they said, we just know it's the time is now to use this, and it was for the purchase of that side. So it's just, God's going to provide, and he provides in ways we don't even try to figure out anymore. We just listen, obey, step out. And another time, for this side, we needed $35,000 down for the down payment. Now, that is incredulous when you're talking $1.2 million property, right? You're expected to put down like $250,000, not $35,000. Anyway, we ended up selling a ministry house in Lawrence that we had almost the exact amount for the deposit here. So we consolidated, and so anyway, I'm excited. I got butterflies, and yes. Yeah, there should be a building fund designation. So you can go online on, is it Blue Fire? WyndhamCrossing.org, and you'll find it on there. But anyway, I kind of want to continue to share a little bit on kind of this concept of what God's doing in our midst, because during this time of rest, I've just felt so compelled with this sense that, you know, we have to continue to trust God. I know that's a surprising message, right? One of the things that I've been sharing for a couple weeks is, you know, that we're in the season of rest. Trust that we would be established in prayer. Being loved so that we might maintain the same intense love for one another. This is kind of our commissioning. Receiving God's welcome so that we may be given his heart for selfless hospitality. Allow the gifts God's given you to come alive so that you might be a faithful steward to God and serve others out of your abundance. God wants to do a deep and expansive work in us and through us. He's given us a mandate of land, wealth, and souls, a living fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. It says, get out of your country, from your family, and your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. And when you talk about nation, what is a nation? It's culture, it's government, it's the people. In this case, it's a culture, a heavenly culture, a heavenly rule. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Wealth, authority, ability to help others. So wealth is far more than just dollar bills. Wealth is emotional abundance, strong emotions, strong spirituality, the ability to give of yourself because you're established in truth, in emotion, in spirit, in intellect. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is God's promise to Abraham, Genesis 12. And it's just developed over Genesis 15 and 17, and then this is all repeated in God's promise to us through Christ, that we have a call to be a light to the nations. We have a call to be a witness to the world. So I want to talk a little bit about this, you know. This idea of to a land, I will make you a great nation. This is what God is up to in our midst. A nation, its identity and culture emerges out of its founding story. You've all heard our story last week. If you missed it, go online. It's a story of God saying, I have a call for you. Come out of your father's house to a land I'm going to show you. And I'll make you a great nation. And right now, we as the Crossing Life Church family, we're being made into a great nation. We are not there yet, but we're being made into that. A great nation emerges out of this story. It's people. Who makes that great nation up makes a great nation. It's government. The fact that it's a people who are surrendered to Jesus Christ makes it a great nation. It's a broader community representation with the purpose of expressing the Creator, his nature, and his love for his people. This is all out of Isaiah 49, 5 through 7. Listen to this. And now says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. He says, verse 6, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Verse 7, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nations, to the servant of rulers, kings will see and arise. Princes will also bow down because the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Now, this purpose of raising up, restoring, exemplifying salvation to other nations, this is exactly what our whole mission and purpose statement of the church is built around. Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting, So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up former desolations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. God's been speaking to me a lot about this purpose that we have as a church family, and the necessity to be committed and focused on it, to establish our church family that it would be a great nation. This mandate's twofold: to establish the land, the place, and to establish the people to a land, and I will make you a great nation, Genesis 12. You know, this is a powerful verse. And when you're apostolic or you're a visionary, what you want to do is just keep going to new things, and you want to keep expanding and launching. And, you know, that's what's in the heart of an apostolic person, someone who's like, spread the kingdom, spread the kingdom, spread the kingdom. And God, for 5 years, asked me to lay that down, and I did, to just invest in this family. And it, believe me, it's been so enjoyable and so fruitful that I don't really even want to leave now. But every once in a while, I get that, and I'm like, ah, we got to go. And so I've been talking to the team for months, like, hey, is it time yet? Should we, like, begin to really expand Europe? Should we, like, really begin to invest in some of these places? And it's still, well, okay, we can go out a little. I mean, Wesley's going out. Wesley Foster's going out. There's a lot of, like, movement. But still, we're in a season, and God's bringing us back in this. You know, I was supposed to be gone in Europe, like, in a few days from now. And we were in our last leadership meeting. Josiah said, Sean, no, you just can't go. It's you just got to stay home. Amen. You have no business right now. And I went, oh, there's that prophet, Shabbat. And so I just said, you know, okay, I'll just stay. I'll stay until we leave for vacation and just plan it later. But what was really awesome in this is this promise and this expectancy. It happened a few months, too, on a plane where he just started saying, you have not fulfilled what I asked you to. And it was this whole concept that this whole place would become a place of just such a highly developed community center. You know, and like, you know, breaking that down, I just, even more specific than last week, what I saw is a flourishing place of blessing. What it is a nation. When you go to just a nation that's been exalted by God and blessing is everywhere. I'm not talking like only where there's labels like Haiti, where everything's Jehovah Jireh bus service and everything like that. I'm talking about like substantiated labels. Like, my prayer is that when people come on these grounds, which, yes, it's a church, but it's a center. You know, it's a center of heaven. I'm praying that this place would be an expression of heaven on earth, you know, where people come and they hear claims about Jesus. Oh, yeah, I've heard about that religious stuff. But then they see it. They see it in the showroom of people. They're like, man, these people, they're so full of love. And I have a hard time accepting this theological thing, but I can't get over the powerful demonstration that I see it before my living eyes. And it causes me to even say, well, so what would I think? I've seen something, and if I have to learn and lay down my beliefs of what I've thought for so long, if I have to repent of my sins, of the things I hold so dear to my heart, like, why, I've lived 20 years in this sin and thought it was acceptable. That's a hard thing to change. Yeah. To grapple with letting go of things that are so dear to you because you've met a God that supersedes your imagination. He's touched your heart in a way you never thought was possible. How could he be so good? Can I trust him letting go of this thing? See, then it's no longer this dead religion thing where it's like, don't do this and do this. It's, you met Jesus. And your insides are shaking because he's doing something you can't explain. There's a warmth that you felt that you've never experienced. And then you start saying, you know, well, okay, I'm willing to die to myself that he might increase. I'm willing to give up things that I've held dear to me because I know him. He's one I can trust. He really cares about me. And he's not out to steal something good from me. He's out to see if I'll trust him. And then he'll bless my socks off with things that cause me to go, why did I have a hard time trusting? Why did I want to hold on to a mud pie when I can have a steak? You know? Drawing off C.S. Lewis there. You know, the place I see here is where God's presence would abide. And I'm not talking just like, hey, and I'm open to it. I'm open. I was alush when it came to the outpourings of the Spirit. I was on the ground shaking and laughing and all kinds of things. Can you believe it? I was. Because I love the Holy Spirit. But you know what I don't want? I don't want anything fake. I don't want anything that's not genuine. I don't want any, like, cultural, charismatic. I don't. But if someone just, like, got catapulted and started elevating and swinging on the chandelier, I'd be like, holy God, thank you, Jesus. But to me, the presence is not just a manifestation or a miracle. In the Bible, it was never about the miracle. It was about the miracle worker. He is everything. He is my fascination. When I talk about God's presence, I'm talking about genuine people experiencing genuine peace and walking in his presence. A walk around the pond where something hits you that's never hit you, that you go, I want to serve the Lord with all my heart. I'm willing to give and forfeit how I've lived life for the past 20 years because I've met him. My life change was on a bicycle ride after a conversation with a friend that I went on a bicycle ride with at 18, 17. Where my witness and testimony was nothing to him. And he looked and said, why would I want to listen to you? Your life is nothing different than anyone else. And on that ride home, I decided I am turning away from all sexual immorality. I'm turning away from all alcohol. I'm turning away from all partying. I am going to be at the church every day the door opens because I want my life rocked by this God who says if you follow him, he will blow you away and cause your life to be a sign and a witness and a wonder that causes everyone to go, what's going on? That's happened on a bike ride. Why can't it happen walking your dog on the property? Enjoying a bingo game. Sharing conversation over food in the back of the building or over there in the cafe. Experiencing gardening. Why can't it happen when you're planting a petunia? How about just breathing fresh air? Or like people have said here, when they look out the windows, their heart is filled with awe. Who would ever thunk it? I can't take credit for it. I can't take credit. I was really stubborn in holding on to the windows. The whole team was saying, we're not moving these windows one more time. I don't take credit for any of it. It was God who gave us the windows in Illinois. We hauled it in a truck, transported it a million times till it ended up in a tent in my backyard. And there it sat, almost decaying until we got this building. And this building was the perfect fit to every single one of the windows. It was not only these eight, it was 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 windows that each had a place in this place. That's how amazing God is, that he would have us walk around with windows for 10 years and give us the perfect building to fit them. I mean, it is, it's unbelievable. And then he would use the windows to grab people's heart and say, look at how awesome I am. Look through me. And we look through these glass panes and we see God living and moving and breathing in our midst. What kind of place do I see? I see a place where wealth would be released, physical and non-material. Like approaching, have any of you been to a great palace or just, you could even say a mansion or some building or site where you walk up and your heart starts like kind of palpitating because you realize this is significant. And it's not just the building, like, oh, the architecture, such fine work. But it's this sense of this represents a lot of power. It represents a lot of wealth, a lot of far-reaching influence. This is substantial. And when I talk about wealth, I talk about people coming here and standing in a bit of awe and fear of how mighty God is, because he's the one backing the physical realities that we see. We're not there yet. I mean, you still drive up and you're like, how did this building end up in Wyndham? You know? Like, there's holes that the building team has done very well at patching, so at least it's not holes into the walls. It's just different colored concrete. But from what it used to be, like Brian said, it is staggering. You want to look, we should post some of these pictures of what it used to be like. Blue tile everywhere here. Nicotine stained ceilings, all drop ceilings, no windows whatsoever. I mean, I'm sorry, 2x2s or something, four places. The physical realities here should cause people's hearts to pound and flutter because they realize this great God behind everything. Something strange. How could a church of 60, 70 people with no money all of a sudden, in almost like the blink of an eye, end up with 100 acres and seven buildings and such a place of life and just always this fruit? And then they start these festivals and now they host a town garden and all of a sudden overnight, boom, people come and go, oh, what's going on? God showed up. See, and it's God. God is the one that's saying, look at me. How magnificent. Look at me. And I'm using these people. I get the opportunity to pull them into what I'm doing. It's amazing to me. So I see this. I see when you approach this great establishment, you see the authority, the wealth. It's a place where people would receive healing, spirit, soul, and body. I see people coming to be set free from past shame and pain through encounters. I mean, that we'd have more and more of these. And if you've been to one and you've been set free and you know what I'm talking about, you know it's the best place you want to be in life. Even to spectate after you've been free, to see other men and women get set free from 20 years of shackles and their face, the look on it, I would just pay to be there to observe every single one of them. The look of freedom when the cell doors opened up. We get to be a part of this. You know, I see elders meeting with many to lead them into places of greater strength and freedom, breaking generational curses that rob not only inheritance but purpose. When you're bound, some of you bound by things you don't even understand because it's been going on for 100 years, for centuries before you. I've been looking into like family tree stuff. I have this genealogist helping us in town that offered to just bless us and do it. And it's so cool because for the past few days, she's been working feverishly and she keeps sending me all this text. Found your great-grandfather. He was this. He was born there. Oh, by the way, his father, you would not believe it. He was a an English military general, and and like every hour we're getting these text updates of like things we're finding out about our family line, and I'm like, ooh, 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 and then we all start talking about it. But I've also seen like all different things. I've seen some of the generational curses of our family emerge, like, well, now we're back in the 1700s, so certain kids of our ancestors, like our family, our ancestors themselves, similar things that I said, whoa, that's an entry point of trauma. That's an entry point of sin. That's an entry point of, and you start seeing these things and say, whoa, you know, this stuff is for real. Break all that. Break all that. And then people, it's a place of, part of this healing is realizing and choosing God's love over our own self-centered satisfactions. It'd be a place where people would be equipped to understand their identity and their purpose. Who they are and what God's called them to do. I mean, we've been talking a lot about this fall ministry school that we're launching, right? We're expanding because we already have it going on to a degree. But a place where there's classes and discussions where young and old, not just one generation, young and old, are discovering who they are, discovering their purpose, being equipped to do what they're called to do in life. Think about that. Some of you are in your 60s and you're still saying, what has God created me for? That shouldn't be taking place. We should know, even in our teens and our early 20s, God has called me to do this. And then we begin to surrender our hearts. This is one of the main reasons Evan went to Scotland. He said, I got to get away. I got to find out who God's created me to be. So we have frequent conversations where he's like, well, Dad, I'm still not figuring this out yet. I said, you've only been there a couple of weeks, you know. And I said, it takes time. And he goes, well, I already have a 1 year, a 5 year, and a 10 year plan. But I still don't quite understand, why did God create me? We've been thinking of other things like, you know, Stephanie, we've had all these conversations. When you do what God's called you to do, there's an energy released. And she has been talking about, like, I can't explain it. Believe me, I am dumbfounded myself. Not understanding, like, wow, I never knew I married a farmer. But she comes alive. She's like, I can't explain to you when I'm out putting up fences and feeding sheep what it releases in my life. I feel an energy release that allows me to do far more than I could do if I wasn't doing that. But how many of us, how would the whole landscape and fruitfulness of our family, our church family, change if each one of us started connecting with those divine purposes and seeing energy release like a generator to where you can do what you don't want to do because you have all this surplus of energy? Because we can't just do what we want to do. Never in life can we. I mean, we can't run a house like, well, I'm a father. I get great satisfaction in that. I shan't do any work around this place, though. No, we take out the trash. We have to mow the lawn. We have to, oh my gosh, all this stuff. Because we're fathers, we're mothers, we're parents, we're kids. We have responsibilities in life. But wouldn't it be great if we could tap into something that rocked our world and began to produce this excess of energy that we're like, whoa, take out the trash, no problem. You know, it's like a boost of energy because we got divine momentum flowing through our veins, our bones, right? And then we have the energy and then it overflows to others and we spark other divine desires. There will be such a release. I feel like prophetic right now. I mean, even when I wrote this, there will be such a release of sense of self-confidence in what God has created us to do and a paramount sense of fulfillment. Like, how many of you have this mounting sense of Oh, that I was born for such a time as this. I am feeling it. Wow. I am alive more than ever, and it's abounding and it's stirring me, and I have vision, and let me at them. Probably not a whole bunch. You're like, but it sounds good. Take me there. This is why the next generation needs to be equipped and mobilized so that they don't walk in the same mistakes we did. They focus early on what have I been created to do, and then get equipped in the word to be able to apply truth to all life situations. It's a place where relationship with God and family flourish. The generations gather. What a blessing to not just be a bunch of old people in this room. What a blessing not to be a bunch of young people in this room. That's how we started out. We started out with a handful. Well, there was Diane. Just kidding. And me and Stephanie. But in that day, there was 20 of us, and our prayer was, Lord, bring in the old people. We need the fathers and the mothers. It was a cry, and look it. We got tons of young and old and in between. I mean, really, that is, we laugh because it's comical, but do you know how many churches are filled with old people and saying, God, could you not bring just one or two young people in? Lord, we're just going to die here with nothing for the future. And I know it's funny, but that is tragic. That is tragic when faith dies out in a generation. And we stand at a place of walking out in faith saying, God, release it. Release an outpouring, a groundswell of young people. An awakening of the dawn, right? Where there's volunteerism is like the dew on the ground. Where needs of the surrounding communities will be met. Salvation of the nations. I'm telling you, I feel glory in the air. I mean, just really grab a hold of God speaking to you. What has he called you to do? Let faith arise to let him guide you step by step into walking in a place where you can fulfill his plan for your life. There's a place for every single person in God's family, and he's preordained it. And yeah, you might be really strange, but you know what? Part of his plan involves very strange people filling very strange places, because his plan is so unique. It's so true. Why, I'm one of them. Come on, let's respond to God. Let's let him speak to you. And don't believe the lie that you don't hear God's voice. The Bible says that you, his sheep hear his voice. And let me tell you something else. You don't ever have to worry about the plan God has for you being robbed from you. No one can take your place. No one. Do you realize that? And you know what? You don't have to worry about working out the timing. Just obey him. Be willing to die and surrender and trust him and his ways. Trust him, trust him, trust him. Meaning that you choose his wisdom and his nature and his perfection over your own. And if something doesn't make sense and you're filled with fear, or you feel like, then it's time to focus more on who he is. What the word says about his goodness, his perfection, the fact that he's not out to rob, kill, and steal and destroy from you. That's the enemy's job. His job is to trump the enemy and defy him time and time again and say, ha ha, again, I won the match, Satan. Again, I am greater, the one who created you. Again, will you see it? I will have my work in my people. Again, will you see that I will win? This is God's business. And he wants to do it in you. Don't fear. Don't let confusion and questions cloud your mind. Just trust them step by step by step by step. Lord, I pray for just an outpouring in our hearts today, that you'd reassure us of who you are, that you would manifest your nature, the goodness and love that compels us that we can trust you. There's nothing on earth that's greater than what you're up to, God. Up to in our lives, up to in our church family, up to in our world. So we lay it at the cross. We lay it at your feet and say, come and do your work, Lord.